This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. Good morning, Oshkosh.
Oshkosh 2018, day two. This is Hot Start.
Yep, and we're hot, all right.
No, actually, we had to run a heater last night, which is a first.
Yeah, the weather has been remarkably good the past couple days, and I see a lot of people enjoying that, too.
That's a good thing. And we're joined this morning by Mr. Dave Lighting. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I'm pretty bad at names.
So am I.
And I forgot your last name. I'm sorry.
John Roush.
John Roush. I wanted to say Jack Roush so bad.
Well, you know, Jack wouldn't mind.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Very fine.
Weather's great. Finally drying out in the campground a little bit. So.
Yep. Yeah, the mud is firming up.
Yep.
So people aren't getting stuck so much. Thank you. They brought us pancakes. They're trying to bribe us.
Mm-hmm. It worked.
It'll work. Yes, it'll work. Easily. How you guys doing then?
Great.
Very fine.
Great.
Okay. Are you awake over there?
I'm kind of awake. I'm just trying to get into first gear here, you know? Yeah. The clutch is slipping a little.
Yep. No, that's an airplane. They don't have clutches.
Well, it depends upon what you're doing at the time.
Okay. Anyway.
Remember, gyrocopter. Some of them have clutches.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So you guys here are talking about the EAA Flying Club initiative here. I've got a little bit of information here in front of me. So what exactly are you guys doing with this?
So, you know, everyone's probably very familiar that, you know, AOPA has been focusing some of their efforts on a flying club initiative lately. But, you know, as an organization, we looked at our membership base and we said, you know what, we have these 900 EAA chapters out there that are groups that are ready-made to go out and form flying clubs. You know, there's members there that are hungry to do so. But there's some different needs for those members, specifically for chapters, because, you know, these groups are taking chapter build projects and trying to put them into flying clubs. They're taking donated aircraft, trying to put them into flying clubs, you know, using experimental aircraft for flying clubs. So we wanted to put together a resource package that was more specific to the EAA member that was looking to form a flying club, and then create a local pathway where the local chapter can, you know, be connected with the local flying club. So someone from the outside looking in sees that local chapter as their pathway to aviation, to participation, whether it's flying, building, learning, whatever it might be.
Are you, you say a resource package, so it's basically just an information, or do you actually actively help set it up?
Both. We have both. So we have now completed our entire Flying Club Resource Center, is what we call it. Everything is online at eaa.org/flyingclubs. We have a fully revamped Flying Club manual, 84-page document that takes you through the entire process of startup to shutdown. We have all the state incorporation sample documents, IRS sample documents, bylaws, membership applications, the whole nine yards.
Insurance and all.
Insurance,
everything.
Yep. We've also worked with some scheduling software groups to get some, you know, some deals for these EAA members looking to form flying clubs. We also have, you know, FAQ pages. Sample budgeting tool, because that's one of the biggest questions people have is, you know, what are we going to charge per hour? What are we going to charge per month? So, you know, you can change up all the variables, whether it's the operating costs, your insurance, hangar, everything, and come out with, you know, here's what we should cost to be a break-even nonprofit flying club.
Recommendations on how to find maintenance and stuff like that as well?
None of that yet. Nothing like that yet.
Okay.
Well, you know, the thing is, you would think already that the EAA chapter is already kind of a flying club. This is just handling the legalese involved in it.
Correct. So EAA chapters are not allowed to own and operate their own aircraft. It doesn't fall underneath their insurance policy. So what we're encouraging is the forming of a separate nonprofit entity. And that's one of the reasons I brought John with me this morning is, you know, Chapter 1240 down in Sebring, Florida did a great job of forming a separate club, and they're extremely successful. They're doing some great things. And
well, one of the things that we explored, we're in our fifth year, and quite frankly, when we started it, I went to AOPA and ripped off what I could from them, and then every other flying club I could find online. And then, you know, we started forming this entity, and it was basically from some of our chapter members. And from that, we learned a lot of the things that you need to do and a lot of the things you need to avoid. But we started out with 8 or 9 members and 1 aircraft. Now we're up to 20 people, 10 per plane, and 2 aircraft. And, I think one of the things that David really has helped us with is collating all that information about what you need to do and how you need to do it. Because when I started it 5 years ago, that wasn't there. And particularly from the EAA chapter point of view, which is a unique thing. And a lot, I think quite frankly, a lot easier to start a club that way because you have access to a lot of people who are either pilots, pilots that haven't flown in a while, or people who want to be pilots. And we found it's been a tremendous asset to the chapter. And, you know, one of the things you need to do when you look at a club, and I don't want to get into too many details about it, but people that are going to form a club need to figure out what kind of flying they want to do. Mm-hmm. And who they want to serve. In our particular chapter, our main focus is youth aviation education. That was one of the reasons we have the two planes that we have. One was given to us at a significant discount. We purchased it, and the other one was donated to us. And so those types of things have been a real focus. But you need to have the right kind of people in the club, have your maintenance and your biannual reviews, all those types of things to make it run smoothly. And those types of things are in that EAA guide.
So you don't have to be a chapter member. You could be someone who wants to learn to fly.
Absolutely. And we've definitely made it not mandatory to be an EAA member, because in some ways, if you do that, you're making a kind of a link to the chapter, which needs to be separate. But we encourage people to be chapter members, and quite frankly, in our club, everybody is a chapter member.
Do you have guys that are home building and need a way to stay current in the club?
Absolutely.
That's a good way for them to get flying cheap, yeah, while they're building.
And, you know, the other aspect of the club is that you're associated with people who have a passion and an energy, and that'll keep you flying. You know, if you're out there by yourself, either owning your own plane or trying to rent one from an FBO occasionally, there's too many things that get in the way in life. So this way, you're with a bunch of people, and if you're not going to be flying, you can go flying with somebody, you know, for that $100 hamburger or the $200 omelet or whatever you're going to get. You know, those types of things keep people interested, keep people focused. And we have, right now, I think, 5 people of the 20 that are student pilots.
Okay.
You know, this is a great initiative. How many chapters have a flying club right now?
We don't know how many.
Not enough.
Yeah, not enough. That's exactly the point. We don't know exactly the number. I can think of probably 10 to 15 off the top of my head that have gone out and formed an associated flying club. And they've all done it for very similar reasons as John's group here. You know, one of the biggest barriers in flight training is, you know, A, cost, but B, it's that support system. You know, it's very difficult to walk into some of these FBOs that are very sterile and feel comfortable, feel like you have that support around you, because once you leave the airport, you're kind of on your own. So when we looked at this initiative, you know, we really wanted to focus on creating that community support network, and that's where the chapter is so, you know, important to the success of these clubs, because like John said, you have that group there to push you along through your flight training.
It's the social aspect of it, because we do a lot. Obviously, the chapter does a lot in regards to social activities, but the club members are right there too. I mean, and it's, you know, we can focus on different things at different times as far as skill building and you know, expanding your skill set as a pilot, and we can do that effectively through the club.
That's wild. I mean, the cost of flying for students has just gone out of sight. And when I first started flying, the airplane was $35 an hour and the instructor was 12. And yeah. I didn't finish my license. I was like, dummy.
Yeah, well, nowadays you go to an FBO and it's like 4 times that nowadays.
At least.
It's pricey.
We have a chapter down in the St. Louis, Missouri area, chapter 32, and they did an RV-12 build project last year. The aircraft is actually on the grounds, I think, in the home builder's hangar this week. But it was a chapter build project with about 7 core members that built it, and they set up the separate nonprofit, and they opened up the club to some associate members. And within the first year after completing the aircraft, they flew over 360 hours. And they operate the aircraft at $8 an hour dry.
Oh, my goodness.
And it uses MoGas.
Oh, wow. Geez.
And so the associate members that have come in are learning to fly in the aircraft, and they've gone on and been able to complete their flight training for more than a 50% discount from what the local FBO would cost.
$8 an hour? That is ridiculous.
Yeah, the FBO is still mad.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's really a good thing, too, because you've got a crossover there. You have the Flying Club, then you have the EAA chapter, and you can literally just spend your whole weekend bouncing back and forth between the two.
Well, in that way, when a, you know, when a newcomer to the local area or the local airport comes out, you know, they look at the chapter and say, hey, you know, where can I learn to fly? And there's a lot of times a chapter says, you know, I don't really know where to point you. Well, now they can point them to that local flying club. And again, it's essentially the same group of members. So, you know, it's a comfortable setting all around.
Okay. We're speaking with Dave Lighting. I have to ask that every time. Where do I need to go to find out more about this flying club package?
If you're on the grounds here at AirVenture, swing over to the EAA Blue Barn just across from the forums over on Knapp. And then if not, you can visit eaa.org/flying clubs.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. Very informative.
Yeah.
And yeah, thank you, guys.
It's a great idea, too. You're going to get a lot of activity on that, I'm sure.
All right. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.